Our scripture comes from John chapter 10, verses 1 through 18. I tell you the truth, the man who does not enter the sheep pen by the gate, but climbs in by some other way, is a thief and a robber. The man who enters by the gate is the shepherd of his sheep. The watchman opens the gate for him, and the sheep listen to his voice. He calls his own sheep by name and leads them out. When he has brought out all his own, he goes on ahead of them. His sheep follow him because they know his voice. But they will never follow a stranger. In fact, they will run away from him because they do not recognize a stranger's voice. All who ever came before me were thieves and robbers, but the sheep did not listen to them. I am the gate. Whoever enters through me will be saved. He will come in and go out and find pasture. The thief comes only to steal and kill and destroy. I have come that they may have life and have it to the full. I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd lays down his life for the sheep. The hired hand is not the shepherd who owns the sheep. So when he sees the wolf coming, he abandons the sheep and runs away. I am the good shepherd. I know my sheep, and my sheep know me. Just as the Father knows me, and I know the Father, and I lay down my life for the sheep. I have other sheep that are not of this sheep pen. I must bring them also. They too will listen to my voice, and there shall be one flock and one shepherd.
Thank you. That's what we're going to talk about, sheep, and specifically herding sheep. So sheep herding 101, I think that should be B. I'm sorry, that should be B. Second in this installment of lessons about what it means to be a shepherd, what it means to be a leader of God's flock. As you all know, I trust by now, we're, Lord willing, moving to Hawaii. And I know it sounds like we're not going to be doing much suffering for the Lord there. But it's a very challenging area where we'll be moving to a city area. We just feel like this is where God wants us to be. We're going to be praying with you, and you pray for us too. And we pray that God lead a shepherd of His choosing. But I want us to look at our scripture passage there that Brother Curtis read. I ask you to open your Bibles, if you would, and that will help you to kind of follow along in your Bible. As we look at this passage, which is kind of a lengthy passage, so we're not going to look at every word and dissect every phrase in the passage. But we are going to look at some lessons from the Good Shepherd. Now, you probably know that pastor and shepherd have the same meaning. Now, they may not today. Today, it's the word is become more specific to the leader of a church, a spiritual leader of a church. But in the etymology of the word, the words really mean pretty much the same thing. Shepherd, herdsman, or pastor, herdsman, shepherd, basically the same thing. So it's really a synonym for shepherd. Maybe it got started because to call a pastor a shepherd might confuse, I don't know, maybe confuse us with the good shepherd. There's only one shepherd of the sheep, and that's Jesus. Only one good shepherd. But there's another office in the New Testament, pastor, and there are three, I believe, that refer to the same office. Now, there's some controversy about this, so you may not necessarily agree with this, but I believe that in Acts 20, Paul used the same words to refer to the same office. Elder, overseer, pastor. I believe these are all synonymous with the leader of the spiritual leader, the under Christ of God's congregation. Where does it come from? Where does the example come from? Well, certainly from the Great Shepherd. So I want us to look at the Great Shepherd this morning. This great passage in John chapter 10. I believe has many lessons to teach us, not only about the good shepherd himself, but what we should look for in a leader. Because I think that's very important. It's why God has given us several places in the Word here that I think are very encouraging to us to know what kind of a leader we should expect God to give us. Now, certainly not Christ. No one is going to be like Jesus in the sense of perfection. There are going to be failures in every human being, no matter how lofty or high that the title might be. There are going to be faults, certainly. So we all fall short. But I want us to look at the standard, I believe. There is a standard here that God would have us to adhere to. And the standard is to be like Jesus as the Good Shepherd. Now, we're all to be like Jesus, but not necessarily in all of the many varied aspects of his life and calling. I think there are some that God calls to different callings within the church, certainly. It's what the spiritual gifts are all about. There are people that are gifted in some area, not in others. And on the other hand, others can fulfill that lack. And so we're a body. We're a body. We're not all one head. That would be monster, I suppose. So God has placed the members in His body as He chooses. Not as we would choose, but as He chooses. That's very important, I think, to realize that. Well, we're going to look at, first of all, the shepherd's voice. Now, but before I get to that, I want to share a little more about what were the tasks of a Near Eastern shepherd. Well, certainly to watch over the flock from enemies trying to attack the sheep. Now, those could be, of course, predatory animals, predatory persons. I mean, there are sheep stealers. There were then, there are today. To heal the wounded and sick sheep, that's another duty of the shepherd. To find and save lost or trapped sheep, to love them, sharing their lives and so earning their trust. Now, that's a dictionary definition of from the a Bible dictionary of what a shepherd was, is and was. Now, you may have heard the term before in, I don't know that there's anyone here that remembers the Second World War. I think we probably have a few, one or two. I'm not you, Linda, I'm sure. Is that you laughing? Yeah, you were thinking, oh, Lois back there. You remember the Second World War, I'm sure. I wasn't born yet. Some of you may have been children at that time. There was a practice of during World War II where a pilot would guide another pilot whose plane was partially disabled back to the base or carrier by flying alongside him to maintain visual contact. And that flyer was called, that guided this other pilot, was called a shepherd. So I think that's very interesting. But we are all to be shepherds, certainly in many senses. Certainly in the home, parents are to shepherd their little flock. So I think we are all given spheres of influence that way in the Lord's work. Well, what can we learn about the shepherd's voice? Well, there's a truth. There's a ring of truth in that voice. In our passage here, Jesus said, in the King James Version, he said, "Verily, verily." And really, that word is translated, this is in verse 7. The word "verily" translates the Greek word "amen," which is the word we get our word "amen" from, or "amen." It's actually from the old, from the Hebrew. But it really means "so be it," or "this is truth." This is truth, and you can count on it. And we know that Jesus said, "I am the way, the truth, and the life." So truth is his nature. But there are many that lie, like their father Satan, who is a liar and the father of lies. I'm sure we all know that. We've heard it our national politics, certainly. We've heard it from other leaders. We've all failed to some degree there in the not just deliberately telling a lie, but sometimes living a lie. So it's very important, isn't it, that we realize that Jesus, the Good Shepherd, is truth. He utters truth. He is truth. And His Word is truth. And we can count upon it. Just like that shepherd of the sheep, he was true and sincere because he loved the sheep. He wanted nothing but the best for the sheep. And so there was a trust evoked in the sheep by this shepherd's voice. They trusted the shepherd. That shepherd could shear those sheep even and do other things that might even harm the sheep because there was trust built between that. To harm the sheep, not in a deliberate way, but sometimes a sheep that would go astray, the shepherd would actually break the leg of that sheep. Now, I'm sure that hurt the sheep. But think what the consequences may have been. I mean, that sheep that went astray could have easily become prey to a wolf or a mountain lion. And so the shepherd really acted in love when he did that. And the sheep trusted him for that. Jesus said in verse 5, this kind of interested me. He said, "They will never," speaking of the sheep, "they will never follow a stranger. Instead, they will run away from him because they don't recognize the voice of strangers." Now, I think maybe if there's a difference between sheep and people, this might be it. I think maybe we're more or less discriminating than sheep. Isn't that interesting? I mean, we're more intelligent, right? Or we think we are. I think we are. We're the only creature made in God's image. So I think part of that must be that God has given a native intelligence surpassing the animals. But yet, how many times do you hear about this? Christian people, at least professing Christians, being led astray into a cult, for example, by a lie, by what we know is a lie, and they may know is a lie. So I think maybe there may be a difference there. Maybe some illumination may be given by the Lord Himself when in Matthew 25:32 He spoke about how when the Lord comes again, He will separate the sheep from the goats. And I think it's pretty easy. It may not be easy for me, but it may be easy for you to separate a sheep from a goat. I think I understand the difference between a sheep and a goat, but the Lord certainly understands. Maybe these that are not that are led astray are not really sheep. Have you ever thought of that? And maybe have you ever thought maybe that's why I seem so susceptible to to listening to things that are not true, that are not from the Word of God. Ask yourself, have you been born again into the family of God? Are you one of the sheep and not one of the goats? Just something to suggest to you. But the trail that it illumines, this voice of the shepherd, they would follow the shepherd's voice. Sometimes through the darkness, they would just listen for the voice of the shepherd and they would follow. Isn't that a beautiful picture of what we are to do with our Lord? Psalm 119, 105 says, "Thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path." And so the shepherd's voice, I think, is so important that a pastor not just give his own voice and his own opinions. There might be a time to share an opinion. More often, and certainly much more often, we are to share the truths of the Word of God. We are to point people to the One who is the way, the truth, and the life. And not just to intrude our own subjective thoughts, but to study the Word of God. To get people, all of us, together to honor God's Word and to obey it, to study it and to obey it. So there's a shepherd's voice that we can learn from. But there's also the shepherd's virtue. He is the good shepherd, isn't he? He said that in verse 11. You can look there in your passage of Scripture. He said, "I am the good shepherd." One of the many "I am" statements that Jesus made. And he made many, but certainly he is the good shepherd. We would agree, I'm sure, that what he says here, he really means, and there's truth. Now, we could maybe argue the point that he's not really a shepherd of sheep, but of people. But a shepherd in the sense that he is a shepherd of God's flock, God's people. He says, "I know my own sheep and they know me. And the Father knows me and I know the Father." So there is goodness here. First of all, goodness. He is the good shepherd. He is good in the sense that he will not be self-centered. He will not be seeking his own profit. He said, "I came not to be ministered unto, but to minister," or to serve, "and to give my life a ransom for many." So there is unqualified goodness here in our Lord. Now certainly no one is good in that sense of perfection, but we ought to seek the most virtuous to be our leaders. Not just those who think that they're virtuous, because sometimes we can become proud of our accomplishments for the Lord. But certainly a humility, a humble dependence upon the Lord, and allowing God to fill and to lead and to just be leaders of His choosing and not our own. So I think we all understand that. I hope that goodness is so very important here. Giving. His nature is to give, even His life, if necessary. Isn't that what He says here in the passage? That the shepherd will lay down his life for the flock? That's really all contained there in the door. When Jesus says, "I am the door of the sheep." Yes, it says that here. Verse 9. I think He says it a couple times there. Do you know what the door there refers to? Well, it certainly refers to Christ. Yes. Does anybody know this? The shepherd would actually lay down across the opening of the sheepfold. And that's where he would sleep. I would say the sheep would be pretty safe, wouldn't you? I mean, if a wolf came, I suppose maybe he could jump over the shepherd. But I'm sure that shepherd slept with one eye open and was ready, vigilant. But he's giving. He would give his life even. That would be a place of danger, we would say. Why not be someplace safer? But it's what being a shepherd was all about. A shepherd would give his life if necessary to protect those sheep. He would attack a bear if a bear came in there. I think David killed a bear, didn't he? A bear and a lion. He was a little shepherd boy. He's going. He goes after the lost. In verse 16 there, Jesus said, "But I have other sheep which are not of this flock. I must bring them also, and they will listen to my voice. Then there will be one flock and one shepherd." So he goes after the lost. Certainly evangelism comes to mind. Concern for the lost, not just those that are in the flock, but those that need to know that they're loved, to need to know that a Savior came and died for them, and to go out and win sheep. I suppose convert the goats to sheep, I guess, to use the biblical metaphor. So going after the lost, going after the straying, the parable of the lost sheep comes to mind in Matthew chapter 18. Do you remember the parable of the 99 that were safely in the fold, but one was lost. And the shepherd left the 99, I suppose left them safe and secure, and went out and sought the one that was lost. I think a picture of the straying. Those that stray from the fold. We are to seek after them. So all of these things. Now this isn't everything. And Lord willing, in the next three Sundays, I want to share with you more specifically what the duties of a pastor are. But I think that there's enough here to get us started. To get us started thinking about what a shepherd should be. He should be like Jesus in his goodness, in his giving, in his going. But there's also the lesson, not only of his voice and virtue, but his vigilance. He's watchful. That verse 9, I think, where he says, I am the door. All who came before me are thieves and robbers. But the sheep didn't listen to them. I am the door. If anyone enters by me, he shall be saved and will come in and go out and find pasture. So he's watchful there as the door. He never sleeps or slumbers, our Savior. Now, certainly, pastors slumber. I've been known to slumber on a pew here in the mid-afternoon when somebody came in the other day and he said, I heard you sleeping. And he found me in the auditorium. So sometimes about mid-afternoon, I hit that kind of flat spot, I guess, and take a little short nap. But the Lord never slumbers. But he's vigilant. He's watchful. He's faithful. I suppose a shepherd cannot take a holiday. I don't know, whether they give him long weekends. I don't think so. I think like Paul, he said, I have that burden of the church is always with me. I'm always thinking about the needs of God's people, and I'm praying about them. But certainly faithfulness is the picture here of this good shepherd. And rightful. That word good actually can mean genuine or approved. Now, that word again is in verse 11, where Jesus said, I am the good shepherd. And that word good can mean that. It can mean that. It's like many Greek words that have kind of a galaxy of meanings. And it really means not only good in the sense of moral goodness, certainly, spiritual goodness, his giving nature, all of these things. But it also means he is the rightful shepherd. He is the right shepherd. He is the one that God sent to be our Savior. He's the only one. Some would say, well, what about other prophets? And, they might name Muhammad and Buddha and even some of the Old Testament prophets. And say, well, what sets Jesus apart from these? Well, those of us who know Him and know what His Word teaches know that He's incomparable. There is no other Jesus. There's no other Savior who died on the cross for our sins. So he's the rightful shepherd. And I think when we're thinking about that, we should think about those whom he calls to be the shepherds of his flocks. And there are many local congregations just like this, some bigger, some smaller. But God is in this business of calling those who will be shepherds under the good shepherd.